Let's say you're sitting around with a group of friends that includes both commercial pilots and GA pilots, and one of you says, I think you have a much easier job than I do.
I just had that experience, Mike.
And I just gave it to you.
Paul Prydecker, who is the co-host of Squawk 1200 with me, I'm Stuck Mike, and Susan Partson, who's the editor of FAA Safety Briefing magazine, are with me today, and we're going to have that debate. Because it is the subject of an article that Paul has written in the magazine of the National Association of Flight Instructors, Mentor. It's the July-August 2018 edition or issue. And so the question is, who's got the harder job?
And the way it started, Mike, was we borrowed a checklist usage term called challenge and response. So what was the challenge, Susan?
Well, the challenge was very simple. Paul, it was whose job is harder? And I brought that up partly because several years ago, a friend of mine who'd spent a lot of time in the GA world got hired for an airline job. And a few months later, he came to me and said, you know, Susan, this is the easiest job I've ever had. And I've concluded that that is the case.
So I have the pleasure of working both jobs because I stay active in general aviation. And Mike, as you know, I'm in the 120 world as a instructor and pilot. Susan's challenge to me got me thinking about the variables. So I did a comparison of some of the more obvious ways that we fly and some of the differences. And I concluded, I'll just give it away now, I concluded that airline pilots do have it easy and that there are some challenges in general aviation. But we have a solution and a strategy that we'll discuss.
So let's go through some of the reasons why you've concluded that being an airline pilot is an easier job than being a GA pilot. Sounds counterintuitive.
Let's start with a few of the basics. When I think about general aviation, I think about single pilot operations. In a Part 121 or some Part 135 operations, you're in a crew. And although some crews are easier to work with than others, the crew environment makes an easier job in the flight deck and is also safer because you're there to share the responsibilities. There's well-defined roles. You can catch each other's mistakes. In the general aviation world, you really are the pilot in command, responsible for everything, including your own mistakes. The other more or less simple thing is planning. In general aviation, you need to look at the NOTAMs, you need to look at the weather, you need to study the airport, you need to do all of your flight planning on your own. And there are some marvelous apps to do that with, but nonetheless, you're still responsible for that. In a Part 121 environment, we have dispatchers who plan our flight, they file it with ATC, they send the fuel load order to the airport, the fuel truck magically appears. Everything is done for you on that standpoint. Now, that does not relieve the pilot in command of a responsibility to review the plan, but the plan is made for you. As a Part 121 pilot, you need to review, agree, and make sure it's appropriate. Weather, of course, the typical single-engine general aviation aircraft has wonderful instrumentation, a wonderful avionics panel, but it may not have the performance to outperform the weather. In the 121 world, of course, we can either go up or around most weather. So there's a list of these, and at the end of it, I concluded that, yes, the airline world is easier.
You're building a pretty convincing case.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me summarize it for you. I always tell my airline pilot friends, you guys manage systems. The rest of us fly airplanes.
That's right. But.
But, and there's a but here.
The but is, what is it that makes the 121 world work and appear to be so easy? And the answer is standard operating procedures. We live on standard operating procedures. And Mike, what we mean by that is doing the same thing at the same time, all the time, and doing it the right way. And I'm an advocate for adopting some of those same principles in the general aviation world to make that operation easier and more safe. And Susan came up with some ideas about what we do in 121 and how that can be applied to general aviation. It's a five-step plan.
Plan, brief, do, review, and renew. And you can do anything as diverse as you want, but if you plan using the same factors every time, you brief yourself and your passengers in the same way every time. You do by using checklists appropriately, call outs, you review the cross check, that sort of thing, and renew with basic training that and recurrent training that you do. That's going to make a difference. The other thing that Paul talks a lot about, which I'm going to try to adapt for my flying, is using profiles.
And a profile is basically it's a graphical representation that depicts certain phases of flight. For example, the takeoff phase, the climb phase, cruise, descend, approach, and landing. So different phases of flight, and it's a graphical representation of what to do and when to do it. For example, you do your takeoff roll. There are several calls that you might make during the takeoff roll, such as 60 knots, speed checks. You might have another call out related to either achieving VX or VY. If you're in a retractable gear airplane, there's a point in time and space when you will always pick up the landing gear, maybe retract the flaps, transition to the cruise phase of flight. So all of these are done in specific points in time and space, and there are triggers for them. For example, when you're approaching an airport, if you're in a retractable gear airplane, there's a certain time when most of us will say, this is the point where I'm going to lower the gear. This is the point where I'll extend the flaps. And if you build a habit pattern of doing it the same way all the time, then when there's maybe an unexpected event on your flight, you're more apt to do the correct thing because you've got such a muscle memory and such a habit of doing it the correct way. And profiles can, it's not a one-size-fits-all concept. It's a one-size-fits-all for your airplane, for your situation, the way you fly, and considering all those factors. So from airplane to airplane, the profiles might be different. But if you're an owner, operator, or a renter of a frequent aircraft, there's nothing to stop you from creating your own profiles to help you manage the flight.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, you being a student pilot, one of the things that when Paul started talking about profiles, I thought, oh, we already do that. Certainly, I was taught to do it in the traffic pattern that you do certain things to make sure you're prepared to land. And if we just extend that to other phases of flight, takeoff, departure, and then approach and descent, that sort of thing, kind of like the 121 world does. And if you do that right at the beginning of your flying career, you're going to have some great habits that are going to make your flying a lot simpler, more standardized, and a lot more fun because you just don't have to think about quite so
right,
much.
Right, relieves some of the stress.
Absolutely.
Of uncertainty. So I've heard more times than I can count that gear up landings often happen when something unexpected occurs during approach, and the pilot is distracted from either a checklist or a mnemonic and doesn't ever get back to that point and has skipped over the step. So how does a profile help there?
There's a wonderful 8.5-minute video that was prepared a few years ago by the NTSB. Procedural compliance is on one of their top 10 of the most wanted concepts that they are advocating. When I watched the video the first time, they make some wonderful points. SOPs are not there only for when you're having a normal flight. SOPs are there to build in the mental reflex and the muscle memory at the habit patterns so that when you're fatigued, distracted, or some other unattended event is, like as you said, interfering with the flight, you've got this so automatic that you will still accomplish it. It's, for example, when we get into a car, we don't really think about, well, here's how we're going to start the car, here's how we're going to release the brake. All these things are a reflex. And if you're in an aircraft long enough building up these habit patterns, then when there's other events, you will comply with the procedures automatically.
It sounds like these sort of occupy, these guidelines, these suggestions you're making, occupy the space between checklists. I'm putting that at the bottom here visually. And then at the top would be memory items like engine failure in flight.
Well, that's true. That's true. And the profiles then are the tools and the graphical representations of what to do and when to do it based on certain trigger points. The other thing we bring up in the article is about briefing. And briefings are essential in the 121 world, but they can also apply to single pilot world. And a briefing between two crew members is conducted during we do a departure briefing, we do an arrival briefing, we do approach briefings. So we do briefings, and then there's subsets of all of that as we continue a flight. But the whole purpose of a briefing is to create what we call a shared mental model of how we want this flight to occur so that both crew members are on the same page. There's no reason you can't do that in general aviation.
How do you brief yourself?
I tend to brief myself out loud. It may sound funny, but if you do that, it's another way to run everything through your head. You're using all your resources. We also talk about in the article, not only briefing yourself, briefing the rest of your crew. And I make a big point in several articles, I've done this in the past too, about if the other person in the airplane is a pilot, you want to make sure you understand who's going to do what. And then finally, briefing passengers. And Mike, once you get your pilot certificate and you can carry passengers, you will need to brief your passengers on certain things. And in the article and also in some of the things that we've done in FA safety briefing, we provide a model for how GA pilots can have a checklist for passengers using the safety as a mnemonic for all the things that you need to remember to brief.
The briefings that we all get in the airline world when you're a passenger and the flight attendant is conducting her briefing, I mean, that is a rule and regulation that they have to comply with that. And it's no less so when in a general aviation aircraft, your responsibilities and requirements to brief your passenger.
So while there is a difference in the level of challenge, perhaps, in the airline pilot's job and the GA pilot's job, with the GA pilot maybe having the greater challenge, there's a way to close the gap.
And closing the gap is by adopting and creating standard operating procedures.
That's Paul Preindecker, who is a co-host of Squawk 1200 on EAA Radio, but also the chief flight instructor for Air Wisconsin. And Susan Parson, who's the editor of the FAA Safety Briefing magazine for GA pilots. Thank you so much for talking us through this interesting debate. And I'm Stuck Mike. You're listening to EAA Radio.